You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Oh, hey, Brad.
How are you?
Hi. I'm pretty good.
I'm doing well.
We're the guys from What Remember. We have a podcast about movies where we talk about movies we haven't seen in a very long time, but not when we're on Podcast Detroit.
Nope.
No.
We talk about new movies. Movies that we can remember because we only watched them a week ago.
Yeah.
It's easier.
It's a little bit easier.
A little bit more relevant, too.
It's easy to remember those ones for some reason.
It's only relevant to people who have seen the movie, though.
That's true.
If we talk about something that they haven't seen, then
I think that's going to happen today.
Call it irrelevant. Yeah.
I'd be surprised if that many people saw the movie we're talking about today.
I'm excited about this.
I hope people see the movie we're going to talk about
today. That's pretty much the end game to it. We're going to try not to spoil the first part of it.
Yeah.
We're trying a new formatty thing, but we'll see how long that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
It's going to last like 10
minutes. I don't think it's going to work at all.
I'm ready to roll. My name is Bradley Jones.
I'm Andrew Moldenhauer.
And I'm Andy Hubert.
And this is a movie podcast called What We Remember. And this is what we saw. And what we saw was Upgrade.
Were there two or three bad guys in Home Alone? And who was that forgetful fish in Finding Nemo? Join us as we're watching films. See what we remember and what memories we kill. Let's start the show. Here we go. This is what we remember.
Forget about all those sequels, Jurassic Who, Incredible What.
Yeah.
We didn't see those. Why didn't we see those?
I mean, I did see those.
We talked about it, and then we didn't see those.
I saw both of those.
Those were movies that everybody
saw. We didn't
see,
except myself. I have
not. Well, you don't watch new movies.
I haven't seen Jurassic World, and I didn't see Incredibles.
You haven't seen either of the
Jurassic
Worlds?
You haven't seen either of the originals? Well, not even, I mean, Jurassic World is, I guess, not.
You haven't seen Jurassic World? You haven't seen Incredibles? You haven't seen the sequels to those?
No. No.
So we can't talk about them.
Do you watch movies?
Only if I have to for the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You avoid them at all costs.
Try to.
The garbage. I hate them.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a movie that I'm sure almost nobody saw.
No.
But we highly recommend this.
People were in the theater.
There was like five other people in that theater with us.
There was more than that. There was like five groups.
I was surprised how many people were in there, though. I didn't think there'd be
It was still showing today. I looked at the show times. Yeah. Upgrade is the movie we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're like, what movie is that? I never heard of that. I didn't either until like 3 weeks ago.
No.
One of my friends posted this trailer for this movie, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a movie that's going to theaters?
Yeah. And then you sent us that trailer, and we ignored that post for like another week. And then we were like, okay, let's go see it.
Yeah. We settled on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of glad we did. Yeah. It was fun.
I was surprised. Yeah. I thought it would be good. One of those.
Andy Hubert, tell me a little bit about Upgrade without spoiling it.
Like, I'll give you
what kind of film is this?
The player mashup, which is basically RoboCop meets John Wick / Death Wish. Like,
sure.
That's,
okay.
I mean, yeah, yeah. This, I mean, guy.
It's a straight up revenge.
It's a pastiche of a lot of action films.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's, you know, a low budget sci-fi film, which is a dangerous kind of movie to try and make.
But it's near future, so you have stuff like drones and
yep.
some like technology that like automatic cars,
auto cars, yeah,
mm-hmm. little things like that. That kind of like they're right around the corner.
But I like that there was like a mix, it seemed like the automatic driving cars were still like. Not something that many people had.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there weren't that many of them. I'm sure that it was just budgetary constraints, but I think it added to the world building. I think they set it in the right period for their budget to work with this movie.
I think the people that can afford those can, and just not everybody can yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't seem like it was set too far in the future, too.
Right. Yeah, probably.
Like, I could imagine maybe like 40, 15, 50 years.
Yeah, not too, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, it's a revenge movie, and the main guy, I don't remember his name, but
his name's Gray. Is the
in the movie, yeah.
Actor's name is Daniel Marshall Green.
Yeah.
From Prometheus and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Who's
Prometheus?
Those are
his two big movies. He's the guy who's got the thing that comes out of his eyeball.
Oh.
He's
okay, yeah.
Nomi Rapace's piece of you know what. Tried to keep it clean on the podcast.
Good job.
Do we have to?
No.
I mean, the engineer just shook his head.
I'm going clean,
though. We got the green light.
All right, fuck it. So...
Okay, that gets you an explicit tag on iTunes.
Uh-oh.
What'd you do?
Rewind.
Take it back.
Take it back for the editor. Hold on.
We got the green light, though.
Green light is shut off for you.
So the main guy, though, he looks exactly like Tom Hardy.
That's what everyone keeps saying, and I'm mad at it.
One very creative person who didn't like the film really enjoyed
Andy
the fact that they
–
I saw this post online, called him Tom Hardly. Get it?
Oh.
Hey.
Got him.
Wow.
Wait, who is this person?
That's just random
just
guy
a random
internet
person.
Who,
oh.
Yeah.
Can't Tom Hardly wait, you know what I'm saying? But I liked him. This guy's got great physical acting.
He nailed, like, the RoboCop walk, which is some we talked about in our RoboCop episode. Yeah. We talked about how great.
Which you can find at whatremember.com.
Yeah.
Or any podcast app of choice.
How great that – how much that added to the character and to the film of, like, his very stiff movements and stuff. And this does the exact same thing just without the crazy costume almost.
In addition to that, just him – he's a – is this getting – maybe I'm going to wait for the spoilers. But he does have to do a lot of physical acting.
Yeah, sure.
Because he is restricted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost gets into comedy territory in a way when he starts
doing action scenes.
Right. When he starts fighting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which we haven't even,
I mean,
like,
if you've seen the trailer,
out.
You understand, like, the base premises, like, the of what happens in the
show. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably going to end up spoiling this.
Well, let's wait a little
eventually.
Bit.
But I will say, if you're interested in finding out more about this movie, maybe you should pause the podcast and just go watch the trailer and see if it's something that you really want to watch, because it's, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
I
check that trailer out and get hyped for it when it comes to DVD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that how people
watch
things?
Do you still watch those, Brad?
I don't know. Best Buy stopped selling CDs today. Did they stop selling DVDs too?
Today?
Probably.
Just today they did. Isn't it like, wouldn't that have been like a few years ago?
Yeah.
Wow. They still have cassette tapes? What's going on here, Best Buy?
Well, they got rid of the CDs, but they kept the cassette tapes.
Guys, I got to go pick up some Hi-8s for my camcorder. You know, got
to
go.
I got some in a drawer at home that I used to have for a camera in the 2000s if you want them.
Oh, man.
Take some home videos.
Yeah.
Like kids' soccer games and stuff.
I mean, I still remember going to Radio Shack and paying like $9 for just two Hi-8 cassette tapes, and I was like, this is expensive.
Why didn't I like making
Isn't this
movies?
Technology dying?
Well, that's why you can keep taping over them. No big deal.
Yeah.
You see one tape and just keep ruining it. Let that quality degrade. Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
Because it's not going to upgrade.
Oof.
Oh, woo.
Back into the movie.
So we haven't even laid out what's going on in this film.
I'm asking you, what's happening in the movie?
Okay. So it's a revenge movie.
Okay.
And there's no secret. The main character's wife gets murdered.
In the trailer.
Because you see that in the trailer.
That's in the trailer.
And so he's spending the rest of the movie trying to find out who these guys are that,
additionally,
that killed her.
And take him out.
Yeah. And additionally to that, he becomes a paraplegic.
Yes.
Yes.
He gets shot in like the neck or something like that.
Yeah. So he's paralyzed from the neck down.
Right.
But some, like, you know, Elon Musk typey dude is like, but I have a chip that can
That
let
guy's
you
name is
again.
Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the names down so we'd stop calling them dudes.
I think
and
it's
things.
Spelled weird.
E-R-O-N is how it's spelled.
It was on the IMDb. I was like, wait, what?
And he's just like some 20-something young
future
guy.
Future Aaron. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of good social manners and graces.
Yes.
He even lives in this like underground house
lair.
You don't even know like why the main guy is like knows of him. Like,
you do.
Oh, it's a car. He's mm-hmm. working on a car. Oh,
he's
yeah,
a mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay. The main character is a mechanic.
That's his way in.
So he fixes classic cars.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, more rare in this near future.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, because his wife is like making fun of him for not knowing how to use the Google car or whatever.
Yeah.
The self-driving car.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't trust it, in which he shouldn't.
No.
Because technology is always evil.
Yeah,
and
basically.
And specifically in movies like this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Because he becomes part of the technology in the movie trailer.
Yep.
We see that he gets implanted with a device that lets him walk again.
Right. It's just like a microchip that goes into the back of his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it can talk to him.
Yep.
Yes. It communicates with him, which is like something that the creator didn't know, or maybe he is he.
So
that gets into spoiler territory.
It was your idea to put off the spoilers. I'm trying to make you stick to your own ideal here.
I don't know. We're going to end up spoiling.
But basically, with the help of this chip, is basically just like, let me help you solve your wife's murder, essentially.
Yeah. He becomes like a detective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's an actual detective as well in the movie, though.
Yep. Yep. And this is a Blumhouse film.
Yes.
And it's the same girl who was in Get Out who played the.
Oh, yeah. The housekeeper.
The housekeeper. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brad, can you explain what a Blumhouse movie is?
Blumhouse Films, the first one came out in like 2007, but it's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. I think their first big hit was Insidious. I'd have to imagine.
Yeah.
And then they had like The Purge, and then like all of a sudden they started to recruit just these great horror directors. Like almost every one of their films has like a different director attached to it.
Yeah.
I said great and someone looked at me because M. Night Shyamalan is one of the directors that they recruited. And I'm getting nods of disapproval from the audio engineer. But the two movies he made were good. He made The Visit and Split, which both people liked. I know some people were split on Split.
Hey, I heard it was not great. Split.
I haven't seen it.
So. Did you hear from the 50% that didn't like it? Maybe talk to the other 50%. Because I've heard mixed.
Other people.
I've heard a mixed opinion.
Yeah.
And James Wan, you know, did that Insidious movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved Insidious.
Yeah. This guy who directed it, Lee Whannell, he's from Australia. He's been doing movies for a very long time. Like one of his earliest credits was like The Matrix 2 or something like that, like an actor. Man. And he just writes. And this is his second movie that he's directed.
Yeah. I think that's what I read online. Mm-hmm.
Blumhouse also made Whiplash.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Mm-hmm. I think the Blumhouse project movies are specifically like they have to come in like their budget. They have like a limit of like $5 million. They can.
That's what this movie had.
Yeah,
that's what Insidious felt like. It was just like super low budget.
Yeah, I feel like that's just their tactic is to make a lot of low budget horror films. Mm-hmm. Hope just one of them hits, which it usually always does.
Right,
and they have franchises now, so at least they can fall back on those.
I mean, they basically target like the Paranormal Activity market.
That is also one of their
films. Shoot that movie for like $10, and it makes like $500 million. Mm-hmm. And it lets them kind of keep producing these films, which is cool because they do put out some really good stuff
and some really bad stuff
bad stuff.
There was that movie that we saw a trailer for, Unfriended 2.
That's right.
And we saw Unfriended.
Is that a movie?
So I think
someone
Unfriended.
Just shoot that on Skype.
Essentially, that's what that movie is.
That movie was the trailer. That trailer was the entire film. It showed us the front to end of that movie. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure within the trailer.
And I'm pretty sure I saw that the first Unfriended in a trailer, and I was like, that's the whole film. Yeah. What are you doing, Unfriended?
Yeah.
I'm not following you back.
Who makes their trailers? Who does that?
I don't know, but that's a whole nother problem. But the trailer for this movie is sweet.
Oh, yeah.
So it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Right.
This is what we're getting. It's a real hit or miss with these Blumhouse films. But when they hit, like, I want to see this again. I want to own this film, possibly.
Yeah, I'd watch this.
I want to see some commentary tracks. I want to know how this thing was made. There's some cool shots in this film.
Yeah. They did a lot of really interesting motion tracking shots where they lock. They lock the camera view on their actor. So like it only adjusts the background layer and it looks really cool in so many of these shots. Like you follow him and it adds to the idea that he is essentially like a cyborg being controlled by a computer.
Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those people that complain about action movies and not being able to follow it, you can do it in this film.
Yeah, this kind of eliminates the shaky cam effect of fights.
It almost does like a tilty cam, I'd say.
Yeah.
Where it feels like robotic in a good sense because it emphasizes the film. Like he'll throw a punch and the camera will, like curve towards the punch, and when he like recoils his hand, like the camera goes back to the punch. Yeah. And you just kind of like you see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like limited action, and so like a few punches and kicks, the stuff's over like pretty quick.
But yeah, one of my favorite scenes in the whole film is in the trailer, and it's like when he like finds the first guy, like his first link in the chain,
the first encounter,
and the chip asks to take over to help him fight this guy, basically.
Yeah, give me control.
And he does a really good job of from the neck up is like just a person, and from the neck down is a robot. So like he is, his like body is beating this guy very stiff and like in a mechanical manner, and it, like his head is just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Oh no, like destroying this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool. I was very impressed with the physical acting that he did.
Yeah. There's some stunt double stuff, but like him doing cartwheels and things.
Yes.
But other than that, he's in a lot of the scenes because mm-hmm. they're just quick and to the point.
Yeah.
This movie didn't linger on too many things.
No, this
things
movie
too
moves,
long.
Which it kind of needs to. There's some like bits that would be a little goofy if you dwell too long and think about them too much. Like in the trailer, too, they reveal like one guy has a gun in his arm and they kind of explain how that
which
works.
Which is awesome.
Like, and it's a cool. But yeah, if you sit on that too long, you're like, wait, what?
Like, it at least has an awesome payoff. I don't know if it's awesome itself.
So yeah, that's one of those things where you're just like, you have to pick that up and just kind of go with it and don't ask too many questions.
It has elements of like body horror and... Mm-hmm. The gore is
yeah, this is a gory action movie,
but
too.
But it's still, like, artistic in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, with anything else, I'm worried about getting into spoilers, but yeah. So if you want to – if this sounds interesting to you,
mm-hmm.
pause this and
go
watch this movie.
If you liked any of the movies that we told you that this was like, I think you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think our engineer agrees.
I was really excited to see the movie based on the trailer, and then I regretted spending money on it.
Oh, no. I had so much fun.
Also, you got to get that movie pass so you don't regret it.
didn't the guy with the gun in his arm, didn't he load above the elbow?
Yes, he did.
So how's the...
That's exactly.
It's a little
with the gun arm, you have to like not think about it too hard because it doesn't make a whole lot
they
of sense.
They cut open that arm and you can get a good look at how it's kind of put together and how creepy it is to have like... mechanical parts put inside of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and he like they show him like single loading bullets into his arm, and he loads like four, and then he proceeds to like automatic fire at the main guy in the movie a bunch, and you're like, that was way too many bullets.
He put him in off screen. Also, there's a reason for everything in the movie, which is also getting into spoilers.
Yes.
But
well, let's get into spoilers. I think we've given them enough time.
Let's keep talking about how we're going to spoil the movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then at the last 5 minutes, like, uh-oh, we ran out of time.
Oops, sorry. Go see it. I guess. Whatever.
So, the movie, should we just, like, run through the
you
movie?
You tell me.
Okay.
Yeah, you tell
are you
me.
Ready, are you ready for spoilers?
How does this movie start?
You just saw it.
Just once, though.
It just opens on him building a car, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's working on a car.
That was – there. Okay, so I another –
Man and machine.
He's working on that car.
There's
but
themes here.
It pans through his, like, standard
like a
movie
labyrinth.
Car guy garage. But it shows a bunch of cylinders on his workbench,
mm-hmm.
and then he starts the engine. And I'm like, but the cylinders are right
those
there.
Those are different
like,
cylinders, Andy.
How did he start
car
that engine?
Car guy Andy.
It's not, they're not in the car.
He's definitely just doing some stuff in the engine part.
Classic,
not
like,
really,
turn
like,
a wrench, yeah. make a sound effect.
He,
hey,
bet, he gets like a soccer wrench and like cranks a nut. And you're like, oh, that's probably good enough.
That's a car guy. Yep.
He knows cars. He's got a little oil on his hands, you know?
Yeah.
Wipes his hands off on his shirt, makes that more oily. It's like, why just get a rack? Let's go clean
look,
it.
How are people going to know he works on cars unless he has oil all over his shirt?
Right.
That's how you know.
He's a man of the machine. Get it?
I get it.
Because, and then...
his wife comes home.
Yeah. Well, he gets this car started. And her name's Asha.
Asha.
Yep. I feel like you just like wrote a list of like futuristic sounding names and just threw a dart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, what's a normal name? And
hit.
Then we futurify it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary. Gray.
Gray.
Ashley. Asha. Aaron.
I
spelled stupid.
I did feel like his name was the most like generic like
he was also the
name.
Weirdest actor out of all of them.
Yeah.
I feel like he like maybe was forgetting lines and then like there's just a lot of pausing.
You mean the computer guy? Or?
Yeah.
So he was supposed to like act like the eccentric tech genius guy.
So Asha comes home.
Are you going to say anything? I was gonna say, he's like a weird Steve Jobs, Elon Musk hybrid.
Yeah, or like mm-hmm. Mark Zuckerberg, like very socially
awkward. Yeah. He directly states it too. Like, they don't let you just sort of understand that he's supposed to be that guy. He has to be like, I'm not good with people.
I was like, I really like machines.
I was like, yeah, it's okay. Let's keep going.
I don't like anything I can't program and make do what I want.
That's kind of his voice
almost
too. It's
Torgo.
Not too wrong.
Yeah, it was like some Torgo voice.
Oh no.
I don't think he was the best person for the role. Personally,
I mean, he probably showed up to set and like didn't complain. He's a pretty good actor. It's kind of all you want
the bare minimum.
In a $5 million movie. Take the minimum paycheck and show up. Yeah. You can't really ask for much more. Come on.
Yeah.
But so they pay him $12 and he's on time.
We go into their future house, and the future tech is all like tables are now like interactable smart boards, and like the robots are talking to you. Wanted to make it dinner.
Which is like also a little weird because it shows her like scrolling through her little tablet thing and then she walks away, but it's still scrolling for some reason. It's like, you maybe should have paused it for a second.
She scrolled it too hard. I don't know.
Right. You know, it's, you know, the software is not that great.
And she's like talking with him, but she's not actually like doing anything on it. She's just showing it off. She's just scrolling.
We're in the future, guys. Look at this. Yeah. Future.
The movie had plenty
I have a laptop on my countertop.
Yeah, plenty of like Minority Report hand waving to use your computer.
And there's a little bit of a red herring setup in the car before she gets out. Mm-hmm. She works for another kind of biomechanical company.
Yes.
And her boss is on her case about not doing something that's either illegal or she's like. She's against doing something that they want her to do.
Yeah, she was like, it wasn't ethical.
Right.
And so, yeah.
So there's a little red herring like that where you think, like, maybe that company is going to, like, play into the plot somehow, which it doesn't.
It doesn't. It
just goes
No, but they definitely imply it the whole time.
But she technically works for a rival company of the programmer guy.
Yes.
Yes.
That's that company. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
Like Cobalt? I
think yeah, that's... it is called Cobalt. Yeah. Yep.
So like really early on,
he has to go drop the car off to this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause he ordered some sort of fancy car
and he wants her to come along because he doesn't understand how to use the smart car.
He doesn't trust the smart car to take him home.
No. Well, he says I'm going to press a bunch of weird buttons and I'm not going to be able to get home or something like that.
Oh yeah.
He's just like, I'm dumb. I don't know.
I kind of like the idea that smart car kind of following them.
Yeah.
Like just behind. I think that's kind of interesting because they're just hanging out in the car.
I didn't think about that. But. Yeah. I figured she would be in it. And then they like showed up at the scene and they both get out of the front car. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like she wouldn't have had to even be in that one. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a fun moment where I was just like, oh, yeah. That's how the tech would work.
That would be what happened. So they drop that off. They get a bunch of weird. They go into like, it's essentially like a pyramid. Is that like the motif, like a cavernous?
Yeah, it's kind of like
it's like a wetland.
Like monolith.
It's kind of, he's playing with like a literal Watchmen. Cloud. Yeah. It's just supposed to be like, oh, you get it because we talk
it's
about this
cloud.
Thing called the cloud, and he's playing with a cloud. Oh my god!
Now I finally understand what the cloud is. I could,
that was the cloud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he like shows them. He's like, let me show you why your company's dumb because she mentions that she works for.
Cobalt,
and she's like, "Hey, we're trying to do what you did." And he was like, "Ha, funny.
You wish.
Let me show you my cool invention." And then he takes him to see the Everlasting Gobstopper.
It changes colors, doesn't lose taste. It's amazing.
Yeah,
he just keeps chewing it and chewing it.
He's like, he does not explain it very well. He's like, it'll make
it's like a,
and it will
it's like a little bug. It's like a little micro bug.
Yeah.
With
like,
the little hooks on it.
I was like, for people that.
Is this the chip, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Stem.
Yep. That's right. I couldn't even remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
System, and I don't remember the rest. The rest is irrelevant.
That's why your company is never going to be his company, Andy. You can't remember these things.
I hope not, because my Etsy page is not going to be able to get that far.
Yeah.
So they see that.
They're like, very cool.
We get a nice intro. We kind of see who all the characters are. We're going to be playing a part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take the turn. They're going home in that sweet autonomous car.
Yep.
They start to get the bing bong action happening.
They get frisky.
They get a little frisky in the car.
And the car.
They're like, car drives itself so we can do our business in the back seat. But then pretty quickly the car, he's like, where are we going? Like the car's taking us to my old neighborhood.
The car literally goes off the rails and hits like a jump and like flips into like the poor sector of this universe that we're living
in. Yeah, they're in the bad part of town.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the dumpster fire area.
And he even like makes a note. It's like, this is where I grew up because I'm a
tough. They did have to make sure to let you know that he's from the wrong side of the tracks.
I'm a tough dumb guy who just somehow made it out and got
and married
beautiful
this
woman.
Beautiful tech rich wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sure.
Hang out, work on your car, and your wife makes all the money?
Yeah. She teases him about that, too. Where she's like, oh, staying at home all day working on your cars is what you call as a job.
It sounds like the life.
Yeah. I was like, why is he
being... That's why I married you.
Sounds like a dream.
That's, yes. I'm not even going to feel bad about that. This is great.
Been babysitting the car all day. So yeah, the car, it crashes into something.
It flip-flops onto its head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smashes up real good.
They're all bumped around inside because he belted her in before the accident, but he wasn't because they were getting frisky.
Yeah.
Which is why you should always wear a seatbelt, everybody. That's the
takeaway. Even when you're autonomous cars.
Getting frisky?
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
Wear a seatbelt when
especially when you're getting frisky.
Just do hand stuff.
Yeah. It's safer.
It's just safer.
Definitely strap in.
It's AAA recommended.
Was that explicit?
It's not explicit enough.
Okay.
So we got a couple of gangsters.
Would you call them that?
You were about to soft A, and then you went to hard A. Now I'm like, what were you doing?
Gangsters.
Gangstars.
Gangstars.
Like the Monstars from Space Jam.
Yep, right. Right.
The Gangstars. Roll up.
This car full of bad-looking tough dudes.
Except one
wiry-looking nerd man.
Yeah, with the weird 1920s pencil mustache.
He's also got, like, an old-timey boxing body.
He does.
In, like, face
exactly
and everything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this is like a 1920s tough guy.
He's
going
to go fist
to
cuffs
character
with you.
Type. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got
he does
out of the
not
car.
Look intimidating whatsoever.
That's kind of the point, though.
Yeah.
He all looks right. unique. To me, at least.
And they start hassling the two of them. Like, well, they get out of the car.
He pulls her out of the car.
Yeah.
And pulls him out of the car.
Yep.
He does some... He talks about talking whatever.
He's being kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. He shoots her.
He just shoots her. Just straight
he
up
just,
shoots
yeah,
her.
Yeah, he just straight yeah. up shoots her in the chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they go to him and they just, like, kind of zap him in the neck.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a really sad moment. He's like...
They zap him in the... I thought they shoot him in the neck.
They have, like, a little medical device that's specifically designed
this is, yeah,
to cut
this
that
is spoilers
cord.
Territory. But, yeah, you think they shoot him in the back and, like, just leave him because they thought he was dead or something. But, like, it's revealed that this was all part of the plan.
Sure.
There's
a lot of background people that aren't
just
doing
hanging out.
Anything.
It's not their
like,
business.
They just saw a car accident.
They're just tent city people. Why would they get involved? Ew.
Hoover people.
Yeah. I wouldn't get involved.
Hoovervillians. Hoovervillians, yeah. They're not like leaving. They're just staying and they're not even trying to help after the accident. Like there's nothing.
No. I'd be like.
It's kind of weird.
I'd be standing there like, I live in a 10. What do I care? Like,
I got other problems.
Watching these rich people get pushed around or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a sad moment.
It is a sad moment.
She dies.
And he watches her die.
Yeah, because he can't move.
He can't move. Like he's just laying there like, well. All right.
He wakes up in the hospital like RoboCop.
It's like 3 months later or something like that, or 3 weeks later.
Well, he has a big beard, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 months later.
It does go to like cut to 3 months after he's in there.
Mm-hmm. He wakes up. Now, he talks to his mom.
Yep.
Gets his wheelchair.
Yep.
Super fancy wheelchair that can do a bunch of stuff for him.
And his house that has little arms to make food.
Mm-hmm. He gets taken care of.
Yeah, he's got a pretty sweet pad. Like, yeah, it seems like his insurance must have been really nice. Cause
that's what I was thinking.
Like, they take care of him after that
like
accident.
Like, when you're that wife who's got that great job, she's probably got great life insurance.
Great life insurance,
you know?
Yeah.
He's collecting for
took care of
for
that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
But he is, like, super depressed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You've lost, you can't do the thing you love. You lost the person you love.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there for you to do in life? He even tries to kill himself.
Yep.
He tries to make the machine overdose him.
Yep.
And the machine's like, nah, dog. That's too much, dog.
The machine's like, I know what you're doing. Come on. I'm not, just because the machine don't mean I'm dumb.
Fool me force. Shame on me.
So he goes back to the hospital because he has too much medication. Mm. But like this computer just calls the ambulance for him.
Yeah.
And while he's there, he gets approached by the computer guy again, the weird techie guy.
I think before that, they do meet up with the police officer and kind of go over the drone footage from the event.
Yep.
Yeah. And they pretty much say, like, we have nothing.
We don't know what's going on. Yeah. We're dum-dums.
Like, the whole thing was caught on video from a drone, but they're like, but that's the lie.
They use a bunch of tech words. Like, their IDs were hacked.
Yeah.
They were encrypted and swiped. It's like, they say all these words. I'm like, I guess that's
fine.
That was
good, Brad. That sounds convincing to me.
And he's still a Luddite, because even then he's like, you have all this technology, you can't find a single thing, you have nothing. What are you guys doing sitting on your butts all day?
Some good old-fashioned police work, Mrs. Police Detective. And he doesn't storm off, he rolls out because he's in a chair.
Yeah, let's roll out.
Like an Autobot. And
then the weird guy
approaches him and says basically, hey, you know, remember that chip I showed you? How'd you like to be my guinea pig? And he's like, but this is illegal, though. It's not FDA approved.
You can't tell nobody.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Nobody.
Kiddo.
You see?
But how does he convince him to do the STEM thing? How does he do? Do you remember?
Ooh, what would your wife want?
Yeah,
that's
says,
what
like,
he said.
Yeah, what would your wife want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As he's about to walk out,
he's like,
what would your wife want?
And he's like, damn, dog, going to the second act.
Got me good.
I
got
to make a choice.
Got me good.
It's time to progress the plot.
As they know, the movie's sort of over, so I guess I'll go along with it.
New opportunity. Ooh. Yeah.
So he gets the implant,
mm-hmm.
and
there's a kind of a fun medical,
good surgery
science
scene.
Thing happening, where there's like a overlay of like the inside of him,
yeah,
and then like the surgeon lady has these contacts that like flinker on and off while they're
like
cutting up his spine.
But she's got like cyber eyes that are helping her operate on him, and it's very cool. Like, I don't know, this is probably just more a testament to how good. Like software editing software has gotten, but like the visual and the effects in this movie are good.
Yeah,
they work.
We can make neon lines look good in movies, guys.
Yeah,
and they use them. They use them all in this one.
Just Tronify it. Put on the Tron filter. It just comes prepackaged.
And the little stem thing is like a bug that like latches onto his spine.
Yeah, they even show like a shot of it like kind of crawling up into his spine.
Yeah, creepy.
And it bridges the gap that got blown away in his spinal cord.
It's a living talking thing, too.
Yeah.
Which we find out in a bit.
Yep.
So he just he can get up.
Yep. Pretty
quickly. He can get up like right away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's saying something like the chip stem is communicating with your brain to move your limbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like it's basically helping you do the work.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it also can move independent of what he chooses as well, is what he eventually finds out.
Yeah. So he goes home. Like, he starts walking, and the walking here, again, as part of that physical acting, is very stiff and kind of jointed. Like, when he gets home, he, like, goes to the counter and, like, gets a bottle of whiskey and, like, pours a glass and drinks it. And it's, like, every action is very deliberate. Like, setting the thing down, grabbing the glass, pouring it, like, it's stiff and deliberate to make it feel robotic, which is – it's cool. I think it added to the atmosphere, at least of the film, the believability.
When he drinks the whiskey, isn't that when Stem like comes online?
Yes.
And he's like, what are you trying to do? Like poison yourself or something?
Yeah. Yes. So he does the classic guy drinking booze like, whoa, am I hallucinating? And I'm like –
it's like you had one drink, dog.
Yeah. That's not – alcohol doesn't make you hallucinate.
Was it absinthe? What's going on here?
It was a stiff drink.
What are you doing?
He does the classic look at the glass and like put it away like, oh, no more for me. And
starting to hear voices. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And yeah, finds out that it's Stem and is like, oh, okay. Well.
They have a little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where he starts to help him investigate? Does it happen like pretty quickly?
Well, he just talks to it for a little bit, then gets freaked out and tells it to go away.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he's kind of curious.
Well, then he tells him to come back like pretty quickly.
And Stem, and Stem's the one that basically brings up. He's like, hey, maybe we should like, you know, find your wife's killers, huh? And like has him bring up the drone footage.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, go back to that footage.
Hey, let me check that out.
Why don't you play that again?
Let me use my Stem brain to figure that out.
He does a zoom enhance on the footage. Not actually, though. Like we find out later it's not, which is good. I felt better about because it's like here in the drone footage, oh, I've zoomed enhanced on this tattoo on a guy's arm that's super blurry. And this is what it looks like. And now we know who he is. And I was like, every crime movie, this happens.
The twist explains it better.
The twist explains how that happened, yes.
But he gets a little bit of taste of Stem.
Yes.
Because he wants to redraw the tattoo. And this really cool, like, computer drawing happens.
An iRobot style drawing.
Where his, like, hand is essentially a typewriter, like, or
a dot matrix.
A 3D printer kind of thing, yeah. And he prints out the tattoo. Which
or just a regular printer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like it's the iRobot method of drawing where you're doing the lines real fast and it makes the image. And he's like, "Wow, we should take this to the police." And Stem's like, "You, that's not real evidence.
They're
like,
not going to believe you.
And they're not going to do that
because he signs essentially like an NDA not to tell anybody about Stem.
Yes, because it was because again, it's not FDA approved. Mm-hmm. You know? And so finally, Stem's like, you cannot take it to the police. They're not going to do anything even if you did. Like, the only thing you can do with this information is, like, investigate yourself. So he breaks in the guy's home. You know, that's what you do.
Yeah. He just tells him, hey, this is where he lives.
Yep.
Yeah, well, he has to pretend to still be a paraplegic.
Yes.
Like, just because go in that automatic car, then get out in his wheelchair and roll off.
He's like rolling down the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His surveillance is really funny because he's just sitting in his chair on the sidewalk next to a car on the opposite side of the street watching the house. I was like, I feel like that would be conspicuous. Mm-hmm. Like the guy, he's not that far away, and the dude gets out of his house, gets in his car, and like peels away. I was like, you know, I probably would have noticed him if I'd gotten out of my house.
Yeah. So he ends up breaking into the house, mm-hmm. but I remember Stem is just like, I don't know how are you going to get inside the house? And then he's just like, oh, I know. And he has like the credit card
I'm from the
thing,
wrong side of the tracks.
You can do the one thing Stem can't do.
Yeah, Stem can't do. Yeah.
But Stem helps him out. He's like, take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make noise, I guess. It still seems like it's going to be
like, no, it's
going to
keep
noisy.
Like footprints maybe.
Oh, yeah. Footprints too, yeah, because there are some on the porch or whatever.
Because he's trying to balance out, like, you don't want any evidence for the police to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Stem is already preparing that he's going to kill this guy.
Yeah, so he goes through the house. Like, Stem is like, oh, you should check his phone messages. So he looks through those on, like, a table computer.
Yeah.
And then
Stem is a little angel on his shoulder guiding him through.
Yeah.
Eventually turning him into the devil on the other side of the shoulder.
Right. And then the guy comes home, and they're like, oh, crap, you got to hide. And he hides, and the dude walks in.
He hides, and there's a mirror, like, right in front of the guy.
Stem tells him, he's like, all right, don't do anything until I say go. And then Stem says go, and he doesn't do anything.
Right.
Stem's like, oh, you're boned.
Yeah. Let me take over.
So this ex-military guy, turns around and just starts wailing on
mm-hmm.
him.
Yep.
Which makes sense, you know.
And he's trying to fight, but he can't.
He's bad. He's not a fighter. Yeah.
Yeah, no. He can't dodge anything.
He's a mechanic.
Yep. And then Stem is just like,
and he was in a
let me do it.
Let me take over your body. Tag in, dog.
Tag in.
Yeah. And that's
tag
in the trailer. Where, so yeah, he's like, you have to give me permission. And he says, okay. And then just wrecks this guy.
Yeah. He's dodging every single punch.
Yep.
And then they move to the kitchen pretty quickly. Yeah. And this is all
like
in the trailer.
It's kind of like Evil Dead-ish. Yeah. Where just like glass is like breaking over people's faces and stuff is just happening.
Yeah, like, this is where like he's smashing
like
plates over this dude and like
way.
This is where his face, he's like, oh my god, what am I doing? Oh, no.
And he's like telling the guy like, just stay down, man, just stay down. The guy keeps coming at him, mm-hmm. he grabs a knife and then
Stem grabs a knife and then he slices his head off. Slices his head right off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was
It's a brutal scene. He's pulling back on the knife and just
like cuts that head.
Turns
him
into a Pez dispenser.
Yep. Yeah, they don't mess around. They go all out on the gore in this movie,
mm-hmm.
which I enjoy.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Yeah, and then Stem's like, clean up every single fingerprint.
He's like, how am I supposed to remember?
Stem's
like, I remember everything you touch. So then he's like committing the perfect crime.
Right.
And he has the perfect alibi because he's a paraplegic.
Yeah, that's also a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
It's like because the police officer is like, we saw you there.
Yeah, we had footage of you like at his house around that time.
And he gives the exact response you expect where he's just like, I was there, but also, do you see me where I cannot move my limbs?
And as an audience member, I was going to be like, I bet she maybe thinks that he had like an accomplice. And then she says, I think you were working with somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
I think you have.
This movie's smart. This movie's figuring it out.
Yep. So he's deceiving the police, and at the same time he's continuing his investigation. So he goes to like a bar, which is
he gets another clue, right? Or
in the messages was like this bar's name came up a bunch. So like, he probably hung out there.
And it's like a biker bar.
Yeah, it is. And it's like this weird non-tech bar, I get, which they're like, you know, I can see being
no thing. Phones allowed.
Yeah, it's a dead zone in there. And yeah, so he goes in and he's just very obvious, like that he doesn't fit in, that he's looking for stuff because he's a little overconfident, I think, at this point because mm-hmm. Stem can control him. But he basically says like, hey, I know some people in here probably killed my wife. Hey, like, I want to talk to you. And, you know,
Yeah, he's looking for one guy in particular.
Yeah.
He's in his wheelchair.
It's like Pee-wee's movie. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where the whole bar stops and the record skips and they all turn to him.
Yeah, the bartender literally turns the music off. And so one guy's laughs at him and then wheels him into the bathroom with his buddies.
They're gonna go mess him up.
Yeah, mess him up.
Because they know that their friend has died.
Yes.
So they know something's up.
Yeah.
Maybe someone's onto them or.
Well, he even says
friend. Talked to your buddy. What happened to him? Right. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have another fun
bathroom fight scene.
Bathroom fight scene with him and four dudes.
No.
Mm-hmm. And the one weird bit here was he gets a pen from somewhere and that's the next clue, I think.
A pen?
Didn't he get something from his pocket, from the bad guy's pocket?
Well, he gets a pen to write a bunch of stuff down.
Oh, on his arm. That's right. You're right.
So, yeah, he beats up everybody. He's just trying to find out Fisk. Who is this guy? He does have a name, I think.
He does. They do a Reservoir Dogs thing where he cuts this dude's ear off to torture him into giving him the information.
But Stem just carves that dude's face up like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yep. Yeah, and Stem do it because he can't do
it. It's a fun scene where he can't even look at what Stem's doing.
Yeah.
He turns away and his blood goes everywhere.
And he's talking to Stem this whole time and no one else can hear Stem. So as far as everyone else is concerned, he's just this crazy dude cutting a guy's ear off and gets the information.
But, and then he just wheels himself out.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny,
Everyone just lets him go. And they're like, oh, boy.
Clean up aisle three.
that's sort of what the bartender does.
Yeah, he goes in there. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Somebody get a bucket. It's a Tuesday again.
and then right after this, Fisk actually shows up.
Well, Aaron has told he's mad at Gray for taking it upon himself to use Stem.
Because people might find out that this exists.
Mm-hmm. So Gray is tracking his geolocating him, essentially.
Yeah.
Which, based on the twist, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because he's maybe trying to shut it down later on.
It's all set up to get Gray to go on to the next thing and to trust Stem more. Because in the next scene, Stem has a reason, Aaron's going to stop me. Go to this computer hacker I contacted earlier today. Give her this information and she can free me.
Now, see, I think this
But is Aaron trying to stop him because he doesn't want Stem to...
Yeah, Aaron's trying to stop him so Stem can convince him to trust it more.
No, see, I think this is also... It's part of Stem's plan, but it's also Aaron trying to actually shut Stem down.
No.
I think it's both. No. I think it's both of those
things. Aaron is in cahoots the whole time.
Because he says that he's the one that built Stem in the first place. That did happen. And he did code in commands to allow him to shut Stem down.
No. I don't believe it, because he would have done it already by now in the movie.
I don't know.
He wouldn't have waited this long if he wanted to destroy Stem.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
What reason would have Aaron had to be this is the final straw where I need to shut Stem down?
Because
it doesn't exist.
I can explain that to you.
Oh, okay.
It's because prior to this, Stem existed within Aaron's home system. He was a whole
thing.
In that
cloud.
And when he made the chip, he put Stem, Stem is now in that chip. I think Stem was built first and then put into the chip because the whole point was to get a human body. He created this AI that is Stem that took over.
So does you think Aaron doesn't know what Stem's plan is?
No, he does know.
Okay.
But he also knows that, so now.
Because he's enabling it.
But he never has, because he didn't have the opportunity to shut Stem down before because Stem was everywhere. And now Stem is contained within this chip. And is not in the other.
But
thing.
He had time to do that before Aaron, or before Gray went off the grid.
Yes, I would agree with that. After he left, he could have done it.
Or as soon as he installed Stem in Gray, he could have killed him.
Right, but that's why I think for this specific scene, I think it's both. He's trying to shut Stem down because now he has the chance. But
I like the theory, and you should.
And that's why
ask the director, whoever on Twitter.
But that's why Stem
to think about,
because that's why Stem specifically has him remove the lines of code that would prevent him from doing stuff.
That's all just Stem BSing Gray to get deeper in his pocket.
I mean, it works either way. We're both right.
We can't get we just can't get to the roots of this Stem.
You did some Brad jokes in here.
No. Your Wookiee one was good last time, but
yeah, well, you can't have all winners.
You can leaf this one on the table.
Oh, boy.
Andy, you're barking up the wrong tree.
No!
Don't.
No!
Piling on. So he goes to the hacker lady.
Yes.
Now
it's an apartment. Like he's
there's a weird scene though earlier that we kind of skipped over with where Gray goes to Aaron to tell him that Stem is communicating to him. This is a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
That whole sequence felt kind of strange to me. It didn't.
Well, that was the scene where Gray kind of tells him not to be doing the thing he's doing.
Yeah, so that's so just like just a part that, of that. Yeah, he's like, Gray, that's when Gray says, I saw that you left your house and killed that guy. Like, I saw that. Don't do that.
Aaron said that?
Yeah. And yeah, that's when Gray specifically says, like, hey, you know, Stem can talk, by the way.
Which is, that whole scene was acted in a very weird way and it was cut in a very weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So now he's like going to find this hacker person.
Yes, because Aaron's trying to remotely shut down Stem.
Right.
So he has to get this hacker to
put in a bunch of code to rewire. Yeah,
turn him back on.
Because
basically.
Aaron is starting to like come up paraplegic again.
Yep.
Stem can't help him unless
he's no longer using the wheelchair. He like even stops the wheelchair and he looks at some guy and he's like, hey, watch that for me. And then he just starts running to the building.
Super fast, yeah. Because the rate he's getting shut down won't be quick enough to get there in the chair.
Right.
Yeah, he's crawling up the building as best he can.
His legs are off again, so only his arms are working.
Right.
Yeah.
Fisk comes into the bar, sees what's going on.
This is a weird scene.
There's a moment where he, like, spits a nanobot. He sneezes out of his nose.
Which is...
kills the bartender.
That serves no purpose.
It's just like a digital effect they like spent money on.
Yeah, they shouldn't
have. When are we going to use this?
It's bad.
This is the one thing in the movie I really thought didn't work.
Yeah, I guess they just wanted to include
nanobots. They had like Transformers-y sound effects when these nanobots are flying through the air, like because they're like opening up, getting ready, and they're like chunk, 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 chunk. And I'm like, what are you doing?
You have a gun in your arm.
Yeah,
what do you
right.
What do you mean these nanobots?
Yeah, I don't. That was weird.
It's dumb.
Unnecessary.
Well, he gets up there. There's a girl with a dragon tattoo, hacker lady up there.
Yep.
Who puts in the code for him.
Mm-hmm. Or guy.
Or guy. It's
That's true.
It's made to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also, like, people essentially in the Oasis, like Ready Player One.
That's
like,
true.
Everyone
there
has like, VR headsets in.
Yeah, doing some
And they're hooked
whatever.
Up to, like, IVs because it's like they never sleep.
Right.
Nope.
They just live in that world all the time.
Some of them have been doing it for days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have, like, living the back and forth, world. Like, because the virtual world sucks less than the real world. Mm-hmm.
The gang stars are on the tail of Gray.
It's true.
Who are the...
At the same time...
Is that the
kobold
or is that Aaron's...
Aaron's henchmen.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So
or just some like throwaway people. Yeah.
So, yeah. Aaron's company sends security dudes to go get him.
Go pick up Gray.
And, yeah. And the
gang stars like x-ray vision through a wall and kill him in an elevator. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
And just blood everywhere.
Yeah. A lot of gore.
Yep.
There's a fun running chase scene that happens through this apartment complex.
Yeah.
I forget why Fisk loses track of Gray, but the other gangstar and him are like parkouring.
Yeah, they
all
have
over
like
the place.
Crazy chase through the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Fisk is not chasing down Gray as much as the other guy, the other henchman.
Yeah, Fisk has the other guy do it because he's like, yeah, it's fine.
I think Fisk actually stops to kill Aaron's henchmen.
I see.
And in the meantime, the other guy has already followed Gray all the way up the stairwell to the roof of the building.
And Stem is like, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it real quick. And he just like fights him a little bit. Then he shoots his own head off with his own gun.
Yeah, he uses the gun in his arm. Yeah. And
very
another
nice brutal
he
effect.
He breaks
that
the arm back and shoots the guy in the head with
which
it.
Which is a great.
It was a good effect.
Good effect. A lot of practical gore effects. It's like everything that's a gore is. There might be some like blood splatter added in later.
Yeah, I'm sure but, like it's kind of 50-50.
But it's great.
It looks great.
They built a real head and blew it up.
Yep. So then he disappears off the roof. So Fisk gets up there and sees his buddy all blown up. And he's like, ah, crap, another guy down. It's a bummer.
But it's all part of the plan. I think even Fisk knows. I don't know if they're – I think they're being used by Stem.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not.
Fisk is kind of one of these people,
but I think
too.
He's a weird character. He keeps talking about – like when he talks to the bartender, he tells him like how you people are
– Yeah. Well, because
like,
he's more – he feels more robot than man at this
yes,
point.
Yes. He considers himself like the next step in evolution. Because of all the like cybernetic enhancements.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the police, as they're finding these dead people,
they're
like, oh, there's a lot
of
really
people.
Weird wires running through this guy's arms.
They find all
stuff.
These implants. That's part of the red herring plot is they find all these implants in the first guy that he kills, and they're cobalt implants from the competing company. So that's where you're like, oh man, they killed the wife because she knew something or something like that.
Oh.
And so they've been sending these dudes out to finish the job. And
then we go back to the moment where they're – because we're almost out of time here.
Yeah.
He's talking to his mom, and she kind of like catches him like not being a paraplegic anymore.
Yeah. Well, he walks, like, in, walks the in the front. Yeah. He walks in the front door, and she's like
"Uh oh,
huh? You can walk?"
So he's like,
"All right, mom.
I have a secret, mom. Can't tell anybody,
mom.
Can't
tell anybody, mom. This.
You won't believe what happened to me at school today. Oh boy,
spills the beans.
Yeah, and pretty much tells her like you can't say anything, mm-hmm. not even to the police.
Nope.
And at the same time, the police officer comes in.
Yeah. And the mom like covers for him.
Yeah.
Right. Because she's like, we saw you again at this bar where these guys died. Oh, yeah,
we found your chair because you left it behind.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
He has to, like, make up a story about why his chair was there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yep, I was. He does say he was there.
Yep.
The police officer pushes him. She plants a little listening device in his jacket when he doesn't know about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, she ends up leaving. She doesn't believe that Gray is telling the truth.
Yep.
The mom's like, you got to stop doing it. And at this point, Gray's like, I've gone too far.
Yeah.
And also, I think, like, STEM has, like, maybe fully taken control.
Yes. Because
it got hacked. Because, the systems are gone.
Yeah. After the hacker cleared the code in STEM, he now can take control of the body whenever. He doesn't need permission to do it. So this is where STEM basically tells him
he says literally I couldn't stop if I wanted to.
Yes, he tells his mom that.
and it's like that's a perfect line because he literally can't.
Yeah. STEM's like we're going to kill them all.
It's a motivation in a movie for a character that makes great sense.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I love it. This movie just sprinkled with those little things that I just thought were nice touches.
Mm-hmm.
There's a car chase scene that happens.
Yes.
Because they...
this car chase, I thought, was really well done considering the budget for this movie.
With the exception of the terrible bass and drum music in the background.
Yes.
I really like this car chase scene.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to the music very much because it was an exciting chase.
I did. It was just kind of annoying.
So, so they're... Like, he leaves in his, like, classic car. She, the police officer was sitting outside, heard everything, and followed him. And... He finds the bug, and that's when STEM's like, oh, the police officer probably knows everything, and I think she's following us.
And he's like, why didn't you know that she was recording? And then STEM's like, well, it's analog.
It's an analog recording. I don't know that. It's not digital, bruh.
Bruh?
It sounds better analog. Come on. they have this chase scene, and it was really funny because there's little bits where you can tell that it's a lower-budget film. Like,
they kind of reuse the same cars.
Kind of ram hers a bit, and like they don't shoot that other side of the car again, like to show because then you'd see there's no damage to his car because they definitely didn't have these cars hit or anything. But it was really good. I thought they did a good job. Like they're weaving through traffic, it feels fast.
And then there's a little bit of a callback here that's not totally.
This is like one of those things that
you don't know it's a callback.
When we were watching, started giving me the hints of what was coming up.
Sure.
Where like he keeps asking STEM to like do something because STEM's like, your car is not a computer. Her car is not a computer. I'm a computer. I can't do anything. I'm sorry.
But then STEM sees another car, which is a self-driving car. And he's like, I have an idea.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, just let her get behind you and just go forward, go forward. And when I tell you, just swerve out of the way. Yep. And so what STEM does is he shuts off the self-driving car.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gray gets out of the way, but there's not enough time for the police officer to be able to stop. And so the police officer just smashes into his car.
She just brutally smashes in. And that was a real crash. They had the budget for that. But not to ruin the nice classic car.
They could do one. They had one take to do one.
Right, right. But they couldn't break the nice classic car. I'm sure that was far too expensive.
Right.
Huge
waste of money.
And then we cut to Gray having the jump on Fisk because he's already inside the apartment.
Yep.
He's inside Fisk's apartment when he's coming in.
Yeah.
They have a little conversation
about how they're superior beings, both of them. He's like, we're alike, very alike, you and I.
Right.
That classic meeting the villain scene. And then the villain monologues for a while.
You're just like me. Don't you get it? We're both robots. John Voight's in the movie.
and then he does like the, we should just be robot buddies together.
Yeah, just join me.
Isn't he like the military or something?
He's ex-military. They all were.
Oh, okay.
That's why part of the thing that Cobalt does is they do cybernetics for veterans that like have lost limbs or stuff in fights and things like that. That's like, so they imply that they're all ex-military people. And they're like, they might be a shady company doing that.
Justifies it.
And they have their final showdown. And this is pretty cool because they're both like super computer people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like.
It's a little bit Matrix-y. The one versus Mr. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Where mm-hmm. they're both like they're just perfectly fighting each other.
Yeah, they can't like exactly one up each other because Stem's like he's predicting my every move.
Yes, Stem specifically says like he's as good at fighting as me. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing. This
we're
is
at a stalemate here. And we're at a point where he gets a best of Gray. He's going to shoot him in the head.
Yep.
He's got him against the wall. And Stem just tells like Gray to like do something. Do anything you can.
Yeah.
And then what does Gray say?
He says something about like, oh, I killed your brother. Who's the first guy he killed? Uh-huh. He's like, that was your brother, huh? He was pretty lame. He cried like a baby before I killed him.
Yeah.
And then Fisk brings down his robotness and becomes more human, which is flawed.
How dare he become
How dare
human?
He become human? And then Stem just goes ahead.
Stem wrecks him.
And he like pushes him over and he falls on some glass and like the glass
yes,
impales
that's
his head.
Right.
Oh, right.
They did have the one real quick moment. He went to go, like, Fisk went to sneeze on him because he's got those nanomachines. Ugh, you're like, oh, yeah. Call back to, and then it's
but
like,
it just, like,
then,
it since, didn't like, happen.
I see cyber machines, whap, and just punches him in the face so he can't. I was like, okay, that scene didn't need to happen.
So getting to the big plot twist.
Yes.
Stem takes Gray back to Aaron's house.
Yep. Sure.
And goes to go kill Aaron.
Yeah.
Because, like, they figure out that, Gray thinks that Aaron was a part of it, or it doesn't even matter at this point because Stem has
I think
full
Fisk
control
told him.
Over
Fisk told him he's like, yeah,
Gray.
This is like you're fighting the wrong people. Cobalt had nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. He specifically says that like Aaron's the guy that paid him then to kill his wife, and that he was the target, not the wife. This was all planned.
And they go through like they specifically severed that nerve in his spine.
Yep,
they killed her on purpose. Like everything is set up from the get go
to get this to happen.
Yes, so he goes to Aaron. Aaron tries to kill Stem because, Gray is pretty much gone at this point.
Right. And Aaron explains. He's like, Stem took over years ago. Like, I haven't been in control for forever. Like, Stem made me do all this, too. Like, Stem's been controlling this whole thing.
Which helps my theory that he was in on it the whole time going back to it, but.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the police officer is there.
Yeah, she
ends up getting got. She gets goosed.
She gets shot.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that was the best part of the – it's right at the end. Where, like, he's, like, fighting Stem within his own brain, trying to, like, stop
Stem
from killing
Stem is officially
the
trying to take over.
Yeah.
He's like, now I have
a body. He's
still
able to talk, but Stem is pretty much, he's got full control.
And, so he's trying to not kill the police officer. They're fighting over the arm. And then there's, like, the fake out where he wakes up and it was all a dream.
Well,
which I was like, oh, please don't do
And his wife's alive. And he's just, they had an accident. That's all. And I was like, oh, no, don't.
Let me set that up a little bit better. Yeah. So Gray and Aaron are squaring off pretty much like Gray has gone full nutso, like Stem is full control. We get this flashback scene. It's similar to the one where he – like there was a few times in the movie where he's like looking over or like feels Asha like near him or with him. He's like something is so real. It's a dream. Right here, Stem is like essentially taken over Gray's consciousness, put him in like a loop essentially. Like,
he put him into like a dream state.
Inception?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put him in like an Inception world where he's going to just live out his life great and everything's going to be back as it was.
He's going to be
just
with
gonna
his
live
wife.
In his own brain basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you think that is like the Rosebud ending where it's the twist. But no, reality still exists. Gray's eyes are just pitch black. Stem has full control.
Yep.
Kills Aaron. Essentially, he's gonna like just take over the world and become like a transcendence, like Skynet kind of being. Sure. Is that the whole thing?
It was really cool because he was like fighting over not killing the cop lady, and that's what. Yeah, all of a sudden it like hard cuts from the dream, like it was all a dream bit, right back to real life, and she's like, "Don't do it," and he's like, "Oh, he's gone. I broke his mind. He now lives in here, and I'm going to take over the world."
There's a moment where Stem even like tells Gray to stop. Like, don't do this. You're going to lose your mind.
Yeah,
and
he explains,
he
like, if you try to fight me, I will break your mind.
And it's what Stem wanted the whole time.
Yep. So Stem becomes him in the body.
It was the one thing that Stem needed for whatever reason. But
and then,
the one thing he couldn't do.
Then credits.
And he just
and
walks
credits.
Away. He walks.
Ooh, that song plays. Movie's over. Yeah. You leave happy.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We are What We Remember. We do a movie podcast where we try to remember old films we haven't seen in a long time. Jumanji, I think, comes out by the time this one comes out. We already did Armageddon.
Yeah.
A lot of old classic films that we just have little bits and pieces remembered or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're in there. Find us on any podcast app of choice, What Remember, facebook.com/whatremember, twitter.com/whatremember, right here at Podcast Detroit.
Yeah.
And thanks for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks.
See ya.
See ya.